Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo! Wah.
Welcome to another Good Health podcast on the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and podcast with my co-host Chris Graham. We're talking to Ragged Mountain Running and Walking Shop owner Mark Lorenzoni, who I always refer to and have for 40 years as the running guru of Charlottesville. There's nothing about running that this guy doesn't know. And we're so lucky to have him to tap in each week and not only share the news of about running from the Central Virginia area and beyond, but also just giving you running tips and all kinds of great information. If you're a runner, whether you're a novice or an expert, he can help you get better. He's also a running coach. Without further ado, let's bring him in. Hey, Mark, how are you today?
Excellent. Always a good time of year. I love this time of year. You know, great weather for exercising and just a good crisp time outside and people in good moods because it's holiday season starting up and, you know, just a lot of running things going on, culmination of things, cross country and marathon season. So it's a good time of year. I really like it.
I know you want to talk a little bit about some events, recent events, and particularly the Richmond Marathon, which is a big event for Charlottesville area people as well.
Yeah, we have bigger stage events than Richmond, Boston, New York, that a lot of our locals participate in, London, Chicago. But there is no other event that's outside the Charlottesville area that we have as much participation from Charlottesville runners as we do the Richmond events. They have the 8K, which is 5 miles, basically, and the half marathon and then the marathon. And I never seen so many Charlottesville people down there. I usually have about anywhere from 60 to 80 to 100 folks that I'm coaching that are down there. But we had so many more than that this year. It was just so great to see. And it's a big arena in that it's, you know, Charlottesville has big events, but when you have 15,000 people participating, we don't have an event that size in our community. And it's a regional event in that you're competing against people from all over the Mid-Atlantic. I mean, people come from all over the country, but it's really Virginia, North Carolina, Maryland, DC, arena. So pretty exciting, but we had, you know, not only Charlottesville Track Club, and like I said, the folks I coach, the Speedsters, and we have this group called Boston Bound. It's a group of marathoners. Their goal is to try and get to the Boston Marathon. But Prolific, the community running group that Will Jones and Ahmad Hawkins and Wes Bellamy have had going the last few years, which has really caught on. It's kind of an early morning run through the streets of Charlottesville. They must have had 100 folks there. And then there's so many other running organizations, little clubs. A lot of these are local, the breweries that have these run clubs. It was just folks all over the place. It was great. And it's really, for me personally, one of the things that I've enjoyed watching, and Jerry, I think you can relate to this very much because we've been covering the sport as older guys for most of our adult life. It's gone from young males, 25-year-olds participating in these types of events to 50-50 female to male. And then the age has changed dramatically. We used to see just 25-year-olds 35, 40 years ago. And now we're seeing folks all the way up into the 70s and 80s with the average age probably being in the mid 40s. And then we're starting to get some diversity in the we have a lot of African-Americans, folks of color. It's for me, it's just been wonderful to see it. The body shapes are changing. You know, it's not just all skinny young folk. And I love it because I've said this for years, you know, it's essentially putting one foot in front of the other. Yes, there's a process to learning how to do it, but it's nowhere near as complicated as swinging a golf club or a tennis racket. And I would argue it's nowhere near as intimidating, meaning you get out there and you look around and go, holy mackerel. I mean, I found my people. So, and we had arranged in the marathon, folks that ran as low as in the low 230s. My son-in-law, Stuart, had a breakthrough race. He was the highest male finisher locally. He was 234. He was eighth place overall, which is somewhere around 545 range, all the way up to six hours. We had folks out there. It's great. And we had a local woman won the marathon, which doesn't happen very often. We have a local person win it, but Caroline Henson, she was the top female, 245, which is probably right around 6:30 pace, if you can imagine. So pretty impressive.
That's really good.
And then I found this neat stories. These are the stories that don't necessarily get reported, but I think are just very motivating, inspiring. We had a 60-year-old Andrea Wright, a person I've had the honor, a truly honor of coaching for almost two decades now. And she came, everybody's different goals. You know, most people, they want to run a PR, personal record. Some people want to score high in their age group. And some people want to beat the course record that they ran the previous year. But Andrea wanted to set the state record for 60 to 64 in the 8K. And so she set her goal on that and her training towards it. And she obliterated it. It was 37 minutes and she ran 34 minutes and change so it's under 7 minute pace for a 60-year-old. And that was a real thrill. And again, it's not all about the fastest people or people winning. There's all kinds of stories. And in the half marathon, we have a fellow locally, Hernan Garbini. He came in and told me a couple weeks ago that he was turning 60 on Friday. So he would be the youngest guy in a new age group. And he had his heart set on setting a course record for the half marathon for 60 to 64. And he did it. He ran an hour and 25 minutes, which is, you know, again, about 6:30 pace somewhere in there. So, you know, there's all these folks out there. Everybody's got a story to tell. And it was just really, really fun day. And tip for folks that I've been coaching for 40 years, and I would say you never stop learning. And I think any good coach, I mean, I'm not going to compare myself to Tony Bennett, but I know him personally. And I know he feels like he learns just about, you know, every game he's learning something new. And especially when you're learning about a person. So he's learning about a team and he's picking up. But I hang on a second. Excuse me. It's my wife's phone right next to the computer here. So with me as a coach, 40 years, you think you know it all. I do not. And what I picked up on Saturday was the temperatures were in the 40s, low 40s at the start. It was overcast. And I knew it was going to get warmer. And I should have warned my athletes a little more to drink when you're not thirsty and get out ahead of it with your electrolytes. And sure enough, what happened is within about 90 minutes, which is everybody's still out running a marathon at 90 minutes, even the best in the world. The sun came out, the temperature shot up to 60, which you might not think is very warm, but it was full sun. And then the wind picked up. So it was, again, misleading, not making people feel thirsty. And then what ends up happening is by the time you feel like you need a drink, you're cramping. It's too late. You know, you're dehydrated. So the lesson I learned was just, you know, doesn't matter the conditions, get out ahead of it. And if it's the cooler the weather, the more you need to be kind of vigilant, you know, so don't a sunny morning that's warm. You're on alert, but when it's cold like that and overcast, you're thinking, you know, I don't need a drink. So, but it's a good day. And on the very same day, and this year it was split. So north of Richmond was the state meet for the high school, public school, Virginia High School League state championships was the 4A, 5A, 6A was at Great Meadows up in Warrenton, where the state meet's been for many years, but they broke it up this year. The single A, double A, and triple A were down in Salem, Roanoke area. So I hate to see this just because it's always been such a one-stop shopping arena, but I'm sure there are reasons for it. I'm not, you know, in the know exactly on why they split it up, but it was a good weekend for a good day all around for our athletes, our local athletes. And I'll run through it pretty quickly. Western Amar, Lindy Bain. I don't know how many state championships this is, maybe his seventh or eighth. They won. This is the first time they've been moved into 4A. They've been 3A for several years, 4A, a lot more competitive. And they did it in the traditional way. They didn't have a front runner win the event. Owen Shiflett was a defending state champion in 3A. He was seventh. He made a run for the lead towards the latter part of the race, ended up finishing seventh, but the team was just packed in there. I think their last guy was in the 27th or something like that. And I think we talked about this last week, how low score wins. And just, you know, big congrats to Coach Bain. And on the girls' side, they're a little disappointing, but they were without one of their lead runners. And so they had a really solid meet. And they were six overall, but they weren't that many points out of second. And the freshman, Sadie Adams, was third overall. And then 5A, our biggest school in the area, Albemarle, the girls did tremendous. They were fourth overall, Kathy Kaufman's team. And they had two girls in the top five. Jenna Coleman was second and Maddie Gibson fifth. That's a really tough division also. And to be fourth in that is great. And then 3A for me was the biggest story. And this is not taken away from any of the other stories here, but the Charlottesville High School boys, I told you guys, it won the region and they went on to finish third. It's the highest finish in school history. It was the first time they'd won the region since the early 80s. I was talking to Doug Bloor the other day. He's the coach at Monticello. He was on that team when he was in high school. Now he's in his 50s. And he was so excited because it's his alma mater. And to go that long, that big a drought. So congrats to Ray Achenbaum and his assistants, Jen Hochrein and Elizabeth Jennings. That's just a great accomplishment for our city school. To finish third overall. And Basil Mathis, what a name. I think it's awesome. You know, it's definitely a name to remember. I've actually coached his father before. He was seventh, so he was Monticello's lead guy. And then the 2A, Kate McLaren was fifth overall, and the team was seventh for Madison. And that's a neat story, too. Kate, I think I told you guys, it's her grandfather coaches her. He's a good buddy of mine. Awesome. It's a really neat story. We have a picture up on the wall at the store of three generations. That's the theme. There's all these photos of three generations of Ragged Mountain customers, and the McLarens are up there. And just a neat, really neat story, I think, there. So, yeah, it solidifies the reputation of Central Virginia. And to add to that, the private schools, we had Parent Kovacs, who the kid has been number one in the poll all season, number one every single week, clearly is the best boy runner in Central Virginia. He was outdid the field. I don't know if he's lost all season, but Woodbury Forest, he was the top person. And then Maddie Gardner, who's been at the top of the girls' poll most of the season from Covenant, she was first also. So two state champions. I know I'm going on and on, but it's really a lot of good stuff to tell. I mean, hardworking kids, high GPAs. You know, I was teased that the highest GPA in any high school is usually the cross country team. Just there, something about the chemistry of being a runner, and I don't know how it translates over to academics, but it's, you ask any guidance counselor. So they're solid core kids, good representatives for their schools. And I talked to Rodney Redd the other day. I was texting back and forth, and he's just so proud, AD at Charlottesville, to have, you know, a team that's third in the state. That's pretty cool stuff. You know, and this sport gets eclipsed a lot by the All-American sports, football, basketball, and it's just nice that you give us some airtime here, Jerry and Chris, to talk about it. So,
no, I think it's great, and, you know, I don't know if anybody would know how successful the running community is here, high school and, you know, beyond, without guys like you who spread the news. And that's, what a weekend for Charlottesville.
And we it goes back to really good coaches. They're, you know, it's all cliche stuff, but they're experienced, they have backgrounds, they're committed, they're really good at what they do. They're good at recruiting and retaining. I didn't even mention William Monroe. They go off the radar. They had probably the best season in the history of the school. for their boys and girls, and making it to the state meet and having kids place in the state meet. Kendall Tate, a coach. I mean, I could go on all day long. It really is about the coaches and the parents buying into it. And then you guys know about this. I mean, why is the ACC such a good basketball conference year in, year out? Each team rises up to the competition. You have your jewel programs that have been there forever, the Carolinas and the Dukes, and it just causes everyone to be more competitive. And I think that's what we see here. You know, the Western Almaro obviously is the kind of the legendary team, but they've made Almaro a better team. Almaro's made Monticello a better team, and now Charlottesville's in the mix. It's just good stuff. And, you know, we have a great venue with Panorama. Widely considered to be the best cross-country venue in the state. And here it is right in our backyard. It's Almaro's home course, UVA's home course. So, yeah, good stuff. And you guys can tell how much I love it. I love this notion that you have to have five people that on one given day to be your best, your fifth runner has to be on. Absolutely. Your fifth runner's off. And you guys know you can have, if Steph Curry's having the night of his life and, you know, Draymond Green is having a good night, the rest of the guys can have the flu and they're probably going to win the game. You can't do that in cross country. You just can't. So that's what I love about the little guy, the number five, is every bit as truly as important, probably the most important guy on the team. He or she has a bad day and you're in trouble. So,
yep. No question. And that's what makes that sport so unique, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. I can't think of anything else. And I guess golf, low score wins, but not too many games where the low score wins. And, you have to have those five runners. Some of these schools have really great front runners, but they're always in search of that 3, 4, and 5. I think that's where Lindy Bain and Katie Pugh, Sherry Witt at Western have been, and Kathy Kaufman, they're just big teams. And you know, they find seven kids they bring to a higher level. So anyway, congrats to all the kids and the coaches and just good stuff. We're rolling into Thanksgiving and can't go into this week without two things, just holiday week, just being thankful for, I reflect a lot on the things I'm grateful for in this running community. And I think of the venues that we get to use, like a Panorama, Steve Murray, like Foxfield has opened up their gates now. Carla Williams and Vin Lanana open up the track and put the lights on there Wednesday morning, the Whitehall Community Center, where we get to park and run. I mean, go on and on about what great neighbors we have, the RTF, that loop around the city that's maintained by that wonderful not-for-profit. I mean, there's just so many good neighbors and good people, and they've been good partners with us. So grateful for that. And then we have couple of turkey trots on Thursday morning, but you don't have to go to a race. I always help at the Boar's Head Turkey Trot's a big fundraiser for the Children's Hospital at UVA, but you don't have to do a turkey trot to get your exercise in. And I'm talking off air, you know, Jerry, with you and Chris about, I do think it's an important time to get out and with your family and your loved ones and get a walk in, get a hike in. We the Lorenzonis do it every year. Last year we had our pandemic meal and we ate outside, and then we drove out to the Blue Ridge Mountains and just found a hike there online and just had a great day. And we can do the same this year, weather permitting. Looks like good weather, but doesn't have to be anything sexy. Just get out. And I would encourage people to get out the whole weekend and do some walk and explore the RTF. You don't have to have, you're sitting around watching football, which I enjoy, and eating, watching a movie, whatever, but balance it out with getting out there on your feet. And there's nothing more accessible than a family walk or a like I said, a walk with a loved one. So,
yeah, you won't feel as sluggish after all that turkey.
it's the opposite. You will, turkey does something, puts us to sleep, is right. And, if you're, it's a day off for all of us. So, I have a beer with my meal. I don't have a beer at lunch at Ragged. Can you imagine? So, and that can stand to make you a little sleepy. So nothing like getting out the door, and especially this time of year when it's not hot and humid. So it's good stuff.
Absolutely.
We always used to have a big flag football game when the kids were younger, because their cousins would come. And I think flag football is the single greatest game to play with a big family, because there's no arguing. The flag is on the ground. There's nobody. Hey, you didn't two hand touch. You didn't hit me with two hands. Yeah, I did. But with flag football, that flag is on the ground. It's in someone's hand.
It's flag doesn't lie.
Flag does not lie. And it's not tackle. It's closest thing to tackle without being tackled. I can't even tell you how much flag football we played growing up. We always had one of those really pretty firm Nerf footballs, because age group, we would have 5-year-olds up to 14, 15-year-olds. And a 5-year-old cannot catch it. You guys know what a real football feels like. In the cold weather, you feel like your fingers are going to break. But with that Nerf, it was great. It was great. We'd have 12 on a team sometimes. It's just a mayhem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's fun. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mark, for these updates. Running community just continues to thrive here, and that's something that everyone in Charlottesville and surrounding areas should be proud of. No question about it.
Yeah. It's a neat Saturday every year, because you've got the adults and then you've got the high schoolers. Competing on the same day, completely different arenas, but still, the same kind of enthusiasm and drive and preparation that's gone into it. So,
absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. I'm going to get ready to head over to JPJ for tonight's basketball game. And, hopefully, there'll be a pretty positive outcome. I'm pretty sure it will be.
It's a good early season stuff, getting learning again. We talked about lessons learned. So every loss, there's a learning experience, and it's early.
Yeah. Tony Bennett.
Trust in Tony, I would say. Exactly. I honestly don't worry. I really don't. It's just,
I think he knows what he's doing.
He knows what he's doing. So.
Just like you do. All right, man.
Okay, guys.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at jerryratcliffe.com or at augustafreepress.com.